back in my day, getting a promotion, that was the dream, right? You know, that fancy title, getting the nice big office with all the windows, having your own space. You don't have to share a cubicle or anything like that, right? That was sort of the way to go, right? That was the goal of life. However, in a recent survey, it showed 42% of American workers are actually not interested in moving up the ladder. And so the question this morning, is there a risk to turning down that promotion at work, or are workers wise to question whether getting that corner office is even worth the trade-off? Joining us now, Julie Bauke of Julie on the Job, and I cannot wait to hear what our career strategist has to say about this. What's up, Julie?
Yeah, so of course there's a risk to everything. But the question is, you know, how do you feel about that risk if you are happy? So, you know, you're right. Back in the day, climbing the ladder was really what was expected of all of us. It was what we were supposed to do as we graduated from college. And, you know, the idea was grab onto the bottom rung and climb until you hit 62 or 65. Then you get that big pension. And it was just this kind of a lie, really, that was sold to all of us, that this was the only way to have a happy life, or a life that was acceptable kind of in our world at the time. And but also at the time, it came with things like perks we were supposed to care about, like generally a decent raise, maybe even a bigger office, more influence. And again, those were things we were supposed to want. But now, when you look at in this world we're in now, where everything is flattened out and we have different generations at work, different values, different ways we look at our lives in a whole, the idea that because here's what it's come down to in a lot of cases, a better title.
Okay. Right. But what does that get you?
Right. The extra work. So people are looking around and saying, well, wait a minute. So when you think about getting a promotion, what's the first thing you do? You look at the people who are in that job or at that level and say, well, this is what you should do. Is this what I want? Is this what is going to fit in my lifestyle? Instead of blindly saying yes because you were asked or told to or flattered to, people are saying, well, what is this going to mean? So I'm not getting a decent raise in a lot of cases. I'm not getting things I care about. And I think that is probably the most important thing I'm going to say this morning is, what do you care about? And that is a question that we're just not good at answering. Look, if you say, I'd love to be the chief financial officer, I'd love to be the president of this company, I'd love to lead a department, then that getting a promotion may be a part of that journey that you need to take to get that. But my advice, first piece of advice to you would be, get clear on what you really want and make sure that you know, that it's not that you're not just saying you want that because someone else told you you should. I think we get so far away from what we want and we look to the outside world for what they think we should want. I mean, I know I keep coming back to this example, but look at our, you know, your neighborhood buddy there, Dan Hurley. He decided coaching the Lakers wasn't what he wanted.
Right.
And there were plenty of people who came online and said, he's afraid, he's blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, people, really? Take a look in the mirror here. You know?
Well, I think, but I love that you use this topic, Julie. I should say this example of Dan Hurley, because, listen, that was huge news earlier this year. And there were a lot of people who, I mean, granted, if you live in Connecticut, we were hoping and praying that you know, we were sort of, you know, I don't want to say his ego, but we were hoping that he would go with being the big fish in the small pond, staying at UConn versus, you know, going to the national level and not really being the center of attention at the NBA level. I mean, we were kind of hoping for that. And that's the route he went. But I do think you bring up a great point, which is, you know, for Dan Hurley, it sounded like this was, you know, certainly a family decision, but I think for him, he likes being in the position of big fish, small pond. I think he likes the fact that, look, when you think the Huskies, you think Dan Hurley. I'm sorry. I mean, I just don't even see where even their star players are taking more of a precedence than Dan Hurley. I mean, he's on Good Morning America. He's everywhere. And there's a reason he chose to stay in Connecticut. I think anybody with you know, any sort of intelligence looking at the situation would say, yeah, he didn't stay for the money, certainly. And I don't think he stayed for the fame of college basketball. I think he stayed because of, like you said, that, you know, things like I would think, maintaining a work-life balance, but also, you know, what he gets from his own happiness, his own joy of the recognition he gets at this job. He was going to lose that at the NBA level. And you have to look at those things. It's not what society will say, which is the bigger paycheck and, you know, getting to the ultimate level of NBA stardom. For him, this made more sense for him. And there were a lot of people who agreed with it and thought, yeah, that's the way we should be looking at careers today, is our own, you know, satisfaction. Do we feel like we hit, you know, the point that we wanted to professionally? And for Dan Hurley, at least for now, that was UConn, staying with UConn.
Yeah. And so let's just take that example one step further. Coaching college players versus coaching pro players. Okay. Entirely different scenario in a lot of ways. So
right.
Look at your own career. Let's say you've got a small team of two or three more junior people, and you love that size of group.
Exactly.
And you love coaching and working with young entry-level people and mentoring them. And now you have an opportunity to move up and, you know, have maybe a team of 10 to 12 people that are all around the country. Well, that's materially going to change your job and probably your level of satisfaction. And so you have to be honest with yourself. Who are you doing this for? And if you're doing it because they're giving you a 5% raise, you have to go do the math. What's that going to do to your take-home salary? And then what is that going to do to your home life? Are you going to be
your
traveling
health?
More? How much
yeah.
more aggravation are you going to get? And
right.
42% of people are saying it's not enough. It's not a change that I'm willing to make.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for companies not to understand this, I just got to slap my head, you know? I don't, you know, what is so hard to understand about this?
We've got Julie Belke here, our career strategist, and a new survey shows 42% of American workers are just not interested in moving up that corporate ladder. And so we kind of understand why, right? So Julie, I thought, outlined very nicely why people don't feel like that corner office or that bigger title or that little bump in pay is really worth it. But here's the other side of the coin, if you will, Julie. Is there a risk to turning down a promotion?
You know, a lot of this depends on your company culture. It depends on if you work in an organization that has an upper out sort of mentality. Like everybody, we expect everybody to keep moving up, which is really difficult because an organization is like a pyramid. There aren't as many room. There's not as much room at the top as there is in the middle or near the bottom. So, but if you work in an organization where the culture is, if you're not trying to get ahead here, and by our definition of getting ahead, then you're probably going to be out. Then, yeah, there could be a risk. But again, in this case, if someone came to me with this as a problem, I'd say, well, then it sounds like you need to find another culture in which you can thrive
mm-hmm.
and be happy because you're not hanging among your people right now. But also, let me say this too. There's a difference between saying no to a promotion and let's call it more responsibility, et cetera, and not right now. So it might be that you've got a bunch of small children at home. It might be that you're dealing with a bunch of things outside of the office that makes it impossible for you to take on more without really, really upending your whole life. And so if someone comes to you, if your leader comes to you and says, look, we've got this position opening over here where you'd be a manager of this department, and they tell you all about it, and you think about it, and you think, well, there are certain aspects of this that might sound interesting under different circumstances. That's different than, oh, heck no.
Mm.
So you've got to get really clear on which one it is. So if it's, look, that sounds like a great job for me, but I need to let you know that my plate is so full right now in
mm-hmm.
my life
mm-hmm.
that I can't possibly take that on. I appreciate your faith in me. And let's keep revisiting this as time goes on because circumstances may change and it may be something I could do. You know, and so that's be willing to say that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's that thoughtful response. And Julie Belke's here, our career strategist. I went through this at this current career that I'm at. Connoisseur Media, we own a bunch of radio stations in Connecticut. And one of our sister stations on the weekends, this was years ago, when I first took on the morning show in 2020, within that same year, they said, you know, we would love to have your voice do one of the weekend shows for like a jock, a jock position. So music. And it sounds really cool. I mean, this is a station that's syndicated and it's, you know, all heard all over the country. So cool, cool opportunity, right? And I'm thinking, all right, this is great. I tried it, Julie, and it even though it was maybe only an extra hour of my time a week, the prep that went into it and how much I wanted to do a good job at it and how out of my comfort zone it was actually started to kind of impede in my current role on WICC. And I went to my bosses and I said, I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much for even thinking I could do this. But I feel like it is going to compromise what I was hired initially to do, which was to handle this morning show on WICC. And the only thing I will say, and I don't have any interest, so my bosses have done nothing wrong. They were like, yeah, totally. I mean, they respected it immediately. They were like, no worries, effective immediately, like, you're done. So it was great. But it's something that they took note of, that even, you know, years later when we went through some changes here and they said, you know, we're starting to hire. I said, you know, I feel like I have a better handle on this. You know, maybe I'll go back to it or something. They're like, well, think about it. I mean, really think about it before you come. So they had a little more of a hesitation because I did bring it to their attention that it would compromise this station. Needless to say, I'm very satisfied with my decision, never went back to them. But I do think it's important that you thoughtfully try things out, but let them know, you know, hey, this is going to compromise what you really wanted me to do, and I'm doing a good job at it, so let's not push the envelope, if you will. I mean, at least for my employer, that was very effective, you know, thoughtfully talking about it.
Now, if they come to you, if someone comes to you with a promotion or with it, let's just say with another opportunity, let's not even call it a promotion, a move. And you look at it and say, oh, my gosh, no, not under any circumstances would I want to do something like that. Sometimes it can feel like you just want to say no. But what if you were able to turn that conversation into, well, what else would you like to do? So maybe job A offered to you or path A offered to you doesn't feel like, you'd want to do it under any circumstances. What if you said, thank you so much for considering me. I appreciate, you know, your faith in me, your belief in me here. But, you know, if I were to move to a bigger role or a different role, I think what is more of interest to me is this over here in this department or running this center of innovation or influence or learning more about this. So turn it into a conversation, because when someone comes to you and asks you to take on more, it's a signal that you're doing a good job. So how can you use that as leverage to put yourself into something that is a better fit for you instead of just saying no? Then they come to you with something else. No, you know, and then it becomes like, what's your problem here? You know, but then it's also okay to say, hey, for right now, I am perfectly happy with where I am. And let's keep talking, but this needs to be a two-sided decision, not just you think I should, so I will. And as someone who's a boomer, that's exactly the way we operated when we were especially newer in the workforce. We just kept saying yes to things, and sometimes with intent, but most of the time just because it was what we were supposed to do. And that's why that number of 2/3 or more of people are unhappy at work or disengaged at work, according to Gallup, has never moved, because it is a one-way decision, a one-way conversation. Organizations haven't brought it into a two-way conversation, a collaboration on career. Is they're still playing succession in a lot of cases like a chessboard.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is such an eye-opening conversation, Julie. And when you see, again, like the survey, 42% of American workers feeling that way, you can understand it. But then having a game plan how to move forward with it, I think that's the key. And so I appreciate always getting your insight. It really means a lot to us.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Sounds good. Julie Balke for Julie on the Job right here on WICC.